Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us on the line is Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine. Dr. Russo, thanks again for being with us this morning. Crazy past couple of weeks with everything we've been dealing with throughout the country. And coronavirus is still with us. It's on the back page, but it is still with us. I guess I just want to start with, how important is it for people to remember that we are still in the pandemic?
Well, yeah, there is a lot of stuff going on right now, and some of it may actually exacerbate the situation with some people gathering in close quarters in these protests. But we need to keep on top of our public health measures. We're progressing nicely through the phases. We're in phase two now. Some of us could get that long-awaited haircut. This is not the time to be lackadaisical. This is not the time to forget what we should be doing in terms of distancing, mask use, etc.
You know, Dr. Russo, how much of a concern are these protests and demonstrations to you when you see some of the video? And, you know, in a lot of cases, there's not a lot of masks.
Well, there's little question that it's going to exacerbate the situation. Even though being outdoors affords a certain degree of protection because of greater dispersion of the virus, when people are in close quarters for prolonged periods of time, regardless if it's inside or outside, and particularly when they're shouting, they're agitated, they're going to generate more respiratory secretions, that's going to spread the disease. There's little doubt about it.
Will this tell us a lot about what is going to happen in the future? You know, 3 weeks from now, what we see as the result of these gatherings, not just here in Western New York, but around the country, is that going to maybe change the way we approach the virus if we do, or maybe we don't see a spike?
Well, I think it's difficult to say. I'm actually, as you know, I'm an optimist, and I've been somewhat encouraged as the country's been opening up. We haven't seen some of the spikes that we've been concerned about. And I honestly believe there's sort of two factors that are responsible for that. One, I think we, for the most part, as a country and the people in this country, get it. We understand the seriousness of this infection. And maybe not for you as an individual if you're low risk, but, you know, for loved ones that are vulnerable and globally across our entire population in terms of those selected groups of individuals. And I think people, for the most part, are doing a good job following the public health measures. Obviously, there's some exceptions. I also think that we're getting a little bit of respite because now our activities are more centered outdoors, and outdoor activities are safer than indoor activities. I think that I'm hoping, we're going to be okay for the next couple of months. I'm a little more nervous as we start to approach the fall, where maybe our activities will start to switch to indoors. We may be going back to school as well, which could pose problems into itself. So we'll see. But I think things have been looking reasonable at this point, but it is a sort of a week-to-week situation.
But if we don't get a big spike, could that mean a quicker reopening, a quicker move to phase three and phase four, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, it's critical for people to keep in mind that in New York State, where we have some clearly defined metrics, which are working, by the way, I think our cases have been going down and things are really looking on the up and up, is that if we continue to follow the rules, we continue to see these cases at least stay stable, if not go down, we'll be able to continue to progress through the phases, and which we're looking forward to.
We're talking with Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine. You mentioned schools and going back to schools, and I saw recently an article about going back to school over in Europe, that reopening hasn't so far triggered a rise in COVID cases across France and some other countries in Europe, across 22 European countries. Now, part of that they attribute to a lot of the changes that have been made, their smaller class sizes, the masking and things like that. But is that one of the things that really gives you, you mentioned you're an optimist, encouragement heading forward that we will be able to do the same here in the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm certainly hoping. You know, we've learned, even though this disease is 5 months old now, we've learned a lot about it. We understand how it's spread for the most part. We've identified those people, at least partially, that are at greatest risk and how to protect them. And so as we're moving forward, I think as we're reopening, we're putting measures in place to do those activities safely. And I think that's the key is, you know, we can't remain cloistered in our houses and secluded. You know, there may be some exceptions to that in terms of certain individuals, but we need to learn how to do these activities safely. And I think for the most part, we are, and we're doing a good job. There's going to be certain activities, though, that are going to be a much greater challenge where people cannot use, you know, masks, for example, in close quarters. There are certain types of activities that fall in that category where there is going to be people that are in can't be separated by social distancing. They're going to be indoors. And so they'll pose greater challenges, but I'm hoping we're going to find solutions to this and continue to keep this tamped down until we get to, you know, better treatments, a vaccine, hopefully, in the not-too-far-off future.
How much progress are we making on those treatments as we stand right now? We know the vaccine, everyone's very focused on that, but I feel like over our conversations over the past month that a lot of these therapeutics, I mean, they're equally as important for helping to treat people so they don't get into an ICU situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had some disappointments. Hydroxychloroquine was unfortunately a disappointment and so far hasn't shown any benefit on those. So there's still a number of studies that are ongoing. We have the one drug, remdesivir, which is an IV drug that is helpful, but as we discussed, it's more of a single than a home run. But there's a lot of other trials and there's a lot of other drugs that are being assessed right now. Some of the ones that are most encouraging are antibodies that are being developed. I think we've talked about before that if you've been infected, those antibodies could be harvested. But there is another approach to scale where you could identify specific antibodies and develop what we call monoclonal antibodies. And you could produce those in larger quantities. And so you could treat a lot more people a lot more easily. So, again, they're in sort of early phases, but there's some significant hope for those. We're just going to have to go through the trials, make sure they're safe and that they work, and we have to be a little patient. But I'm hoping that maybe we'll have a little bit more, a few more weapons against this virus by the fall, perhaps.
All right. We're all hoping for that. Dr. Russo, thanks again for the time. That's Dr. Tom Russo. He's the Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.